I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul and for granting me this opportunity again to be with you in this church. I want to thank the Lord for everything that he has done through you and through the prayers, the support, and everything that you have done to us back there in Kenya. And more particularly for paying for my wife the ticket for her to come. It has been something that we never thought could be possible. But when we wrote over this side, the Lord talked to you and you provided for her to come. And I want to thank you very much for that, what you have done. May the Lord continue to bless you so much. I want to also to say that, as the pastor said, I'm coming from the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Mombasa. It's along the coastal province. Most of the people there are Muslims, and we thank the Lord that about 2002, we got opportunity to hear the message from Brother Paul Bryson, who was preaching through FM radio. And through that, we had the contact, and we asked him to come to Kenya to help us. We thank the Lord that through his coming, God helped to see a lot of people getting saved during that particular revival that we had in 2002. And since then, God has been so gracious, and he has continued to bless us in the work there in Kenya. The membership has increased, and we got to organize this mission in 2003 after, we organized it in 2003 when they came with the brother Terry Foster in the year 2003. And we thank the Lord for every work that has happened ever since. We had got about four missions, and about two of them, people are calling everywhere through the website that the Missionary Baptist Church, churches over here are using to reach many people. And whenever they get the message, they are always told that there is somebody there that can help them, and they continue to call, and it's just it's a good problem. It's a good problem, but it's a challenge because I need to be moving every place trying to get to them and trying to be with them to let them know at hand what the Missionary Baptist Church doctrine is all about. But now, through your help, we have got Ramogi Hill, which was near the border of Kenya and Uganda. Now it's built and only remaining a floor to be made and the front porch. And I want to thank you for helping us to have that mission built. Now they have a building, only the floor and the front porch will be done, and then it's finished for them to get in to start worshiping inside. I want also to say that God willing, in the month of January, we are planning to organize that church, that mission, into a church. So we ask you to pray for that, and we ask you, brethren, if you have pray so that God gives you time to come and help me, help us over there to see the organization, and also maybe the first ordination that will be done over in Kenya. I need your help because I'm only one person over there who is ordained, and I cannot do it myself. I need brothers who have been ordained to come and help, and also over Kenya, so that we can have churches that are legitimate. And that's really something that I'm putting forward for you to help. We also have a school that is having, Sarah is having a school that's having 250 students, and we have a school over the church building. We have a high school, which is we have now 54 students. For the first time, we are going to have our students sit for national examination, which is an examination that is done all over Kenya. So we are praying that our people will pass the examination to join the national universities over there in Kenya. But the reason why I ask you to pray for the school is because we are using a school as also a mission center. We get opportunity every, I go there on Friday, and also in our school we have a Wednesday meeting, which we have in the school. We have PPI, it's called Pastoral Program, which is a government initiative to help the young people at least know who God is so that they don't behave immorally. So the government pushes every school to have, if you don't have a church-sponsored high school, then you have to ask somebody else to be coming to help in teaching the people the word of God. So we have been doing that, and because of that, we now have about three students has got saved, and we are so glad that two of them have been called to preach. And even right now, as I'm here, I'm really not as very much thoughtful so much about what is happening there, because I have about three people who are preaching there, and they are people who have been saved during the revivals and been saved, and they know what doctrine is. And I want you just to pray for those young people, because we have a very tough job before us. There are people who are trying to challenge the doctrine, but we know that the truth will always overcome. So pray for us over there in Kenya, and may the Lord bless you so much as you do that. I want us to look at a very normal verse that almost everybody knows, and people have even quoted it from their brain and from the mind. So I want us to look at the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, which is a very, and we can even speak it from off it. It says, the Bible says in the book of John, Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that that the world through him might be saved." That's really what I want to speak about today or tonight. And I ask you to please pray for me, because without God's direction and God's help, it's difficult for me to speak. Sometimes it's difficult for you to understand what I speak, though I speak English, but some of you don't understand really my English. So I pray that the Lord will help us together, that we may come out at least having a fellowship together. I want to endorse the message that I had in the morning, which talked about God's power. And it really came right so evident that it is true. And as I stand here and as I continue to read the book and what God is and what he can do, continue to amaze me. That he's so powerful, and in fact they call him, it's omnipotent, it's all powerful. There is nothing that God cannot do. But you see, God has chosen to demonstrate his power in his love. He demonstrates the power that he has. If he liked, he could have demonstrated it in a very awkward way. But he has chosen to demonstrate his power in his love. And if we read that book where the Bible talks about, for God so loved, love is all that God is all about. God has loved the world. And when we talk about the world, we're not talking about the whole, we are not talking about the land. We are talking about the people that are on the earth. The people that are those people that inhabits or who lives in the earth. God so loved the world that the love that God has made him to really show it. And I want us to talk, about come and see the manifestation of God's love. In fact, that is really what John is trying to tell us. That God has loved the world not yesterday, not today, but from the time that God has been in existence. God has so loved the world, has so loved the people, that because of that love, he gave. And that's why today, tonight we are here, and this morning we celebrated the victorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only. God's love has been manifested in the sending of his Son to the world. He has manifested his love by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. That because of his love, he could not sit in heaven and see man go astray. Because the Bible says that the soul that sins must die. And therefore, in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, rightly says that, for all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. So, if we have sinned, we became a servant of sin. We became a slave of sin. And there is no another way that man could come out and be saved. And God has to do something. And therefore, God has manifested his love in sending his Son to the world. He sent his only, the Bible talks about his only begotten Son. He did not spare the only Son that he had. That Son was to be incarnated. He was to be made flesh. And he walked upon the earth. And he came so that he may show the love of God to the mankind. And therefore, this is a love that is so costly. For God to become flesh, for the Spirit to become flesh, because the Bible says that God is Spirit. And therefore, anybody who wants to worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. And therefore, it caused God to come from the throne of heaven, to come to this world, to show to the whole mankind that he loved this world so much. And therefore, he gave his only begotten Son. Because that was the only remedy for the redemption of mankind. God's love is also manifested in the old rugged cross. And I said in the morning that Paul had a discussion. He discussed so much in the book of 1 Corinthians, because people were trying to analyze and try to talk about and to philosophize and to begin to ask, could Christ really be the Son of God? Was he really the Messiah that was prophesied by the prophets? Was he really a son that was to be born, that the government was to be upon his shoulders? And how comes that that son is now taken over and is to be hanged on the cross? And they began to wonder what was it in the book of Deuteronomy, that is it not the writings of the Jews that is written that curse is he that hangs, curse is everyone that hangs on the tree. How comes that God becomes so low to be able to even die on the cross, even hang on the tree to be cursed? But as I said, that he did that to show his love for us, because it was us who were supposed to die. It was us who were to be hanged on that tree. It was us. He was bruised because of our iniquity. He took upon himself sin, and yet he did not have any sin. And was made sin because of us. So God has manifested his love on that rugged cross. The cross was kind of a shame. But God took that shame that you may have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He showed that he was ready to go all the way to pay the debt of sin. God's love is manifested in Christ on the cross, and is manifested in the word that he spoke when he was on that cross. When everybody else had run away from him, his disciples had run away from him, everybody has run away from him, but he was there when they blasphemed him. Some of them spit on him. But when he opened his mouth, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." God's love was manifested on that, in Christ, on that rugged cross. And because and it's also been seen that God's love was also manifested in the Word, because it is on that cross that Jesus Christ cried before he gave over the ghost. He said, "It is finished." It is on that cross that God accomplished his plan for salvation. And it's because of that that we have the confidence of entering even into to have a fellowship with God. If it were not so, we could not have any hope for having a relationship with God, because it is there that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." The cost of sin was paid, and the plan of salvation was accomplished. God's love has also been manifested in the resurrection of his son. You see, like the Muslims, they believe just like any other people believe. They believe and they call Jesus Isa bin Maryam, which means Jesus, son of Mary. He's referred as the son of a woman. And in fact, that's how the Bible also speaks about Jesus Christ. But they believe in Jesus Christ, who was so powerful and could not be able to hang on a tree. They say that he was so wonderfully, and he walked upon this earth, and he did every miracle, and was so, he grew up in stature, and was pleasing God in every nature. But when they took him, when they arrested him, about to kill him, to put him on the cross, he disappeared, and he went to heaven. That's according to the Quran book of the Muslims. And they say that this Isa bin Maryam He is the only one that has been given the power and authority to come and judge the whole world. But you see, they don't believe in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But Paul says that if Jesus did not die on the cross, then our hope of salvation, of redemption, is null and void. Because it is at the cross, where I first. It is at the cross where everything was, the love of God was manifested. When God looked on his son, Jesus Christ, and all the sin of human being was placed upon his head. And Jesus himself said, "Oh my Father, why have you forsaken me?" Because the sin of mankind was placed on him. And that moment, God forsook his son. Because sin, God has nothing to do with sin. But I thank God that God manifested his love through his son, Jesus Christ. And he says that for God so loved the world, for God so loved me and you, that he gave the love of God, made him to give his only begotten son. And he gave his begotten son not only to come and work miracles and preach the gospel and do everything, but he gave him to become a sin sacrifice, so that you could not pay. Because as far as the Jews were concerned, they had done this on a yearly basis. They came every year to give the sacrifice of the sin offering every year. But sin continued to reign in their life. There was no change in whatever that they did. And they cried out if there could be any help. But when Jesus Christ, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that when he did the sacrifice, he made a sacrifice that pleased God. It pleased God to raise Jesus up. I was glad when Brother Miller pointed out that he is the only one that was able to lay his life and also to pick it up. He demonstrated his love in resurrecting Jesus Christ. He showed that he manifested through his power death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him any longer. That God showed that his love, that he gave his, that he was able to pay and to redeem mankind. That Jesus paid for that sin, paid for all our sins. And because of the blood of the Calvary, we are saved. But how do we get that salvation? The Bible says that whoever believes in him should not perish. If you believe in Jesus Christ, how do you believe in Jesus Christ? You must believe that the work that he came to this world, that he was arrested and was put on the cross and died because of you and because of his death. You now have a privilege to approach the throne of grace. It's only that has brought, that Jesus has acted as a mediator between God and man. And the Bible says that he defeated the devil and his plan. He is alive. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Anytime that after he had died on the cross and had been put even to the grave, the women came and wanted to find him. It was a lot of confusion. But when they came, they found in the book of John, talks about a talking that is going on at the graveside. And these women came and they were asking, and they are as if confused, say, "What are you looking for?" I say, "Well, you're looking, they have taken my Lord. Please, if you know, if you have put him somewhere, please let me have him," if I can paraphrase. See, there was a confusion. But always, the Bible says that he told, there was a voice that talked to him, but it was a voice of Jesus. Remember what he told you when he was alive. What did he say? That tarry, that you have to go to Jerusalem. So I want to tell us this particular time that God is so powerful. And he has chosen to manifest his power in his love. And I want to tell us, if you are here this particular evening and you are lost, God once is going to show his power in his wrath. The Bible talks about it. That it's going to be terrible to meet this God who loves you so much, that gave his only begotten son. He was pierced. He was bruised. He was beaten. He was ashamed. He was put on the cross. He died and resurrected. And now he's on the right hand of God, making every plea, every prayer for on behalf of any person. If you are here tonight and you are not saved, I want to ask you that you should not wait and meet this God when he chooses to manifest his power in his wrath. Because the Bible says that he's coming soon. And he's coming to judge the world. He's coming to judge those people. In fact, I've told you that the Muslims believe that Jesus Christ is the one that is given the power and authority. He's coming to judge the world. And he's going to judge you. He's going to judge you for listening for the message. You listen to it in the morning. You are listening. You listen to it at worship service, the normal service. And now you are listening again. And you wait to meet him when he chooses to manifest his power in the greatest wrath possible. The Bible says that when he cometh, he's going to come in wrath. And the sinners, the Bible says that everybody, even the dead, shall hear his voice. Those who have died will rise. Even those who had died in the sea, in the ocean, in the earthquakes and whatever, they will all rise when they hear the voice of this master. When they hear the voice of this God that so loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. When he cometh, don't you wait to meet him when he chooses to manifest his power in that wrath. I want to give you an invitation this particular evening that you can make a relationship with him. That you can come to him in prayer and in repentance, in godly sorrow, and you can make it. You can mend your way. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 2 that kiss the Son, kiss him. This is the time that you can come to him. This is the time that you can talk to him. This is the time that you can make your prayers known to him. And when you make your prayer in godly sorrow and in repentance, he will hear you. The Bible talks about that prodigal son that he chose to come to his father, and he took everything. He asked his father to give him all that belonged to him, and his father gave him, and he went far away and used it in a very bad way. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's servants that have enough to eat while I die here in hunger. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to tell him, I've sinned before God and before you. The Bible tells us that the father received him. And there's everywhere in the Bible where we see God extending his love, extending his invitation, say, come to me, those who are heavy loaded, and I will give you rest. If tonight you are here and you have not made it right with God, you need to come to him. Because he has chosen right now to manifest his power in his love through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Not the trees, not anybody, but those that are in the world. He loved them so much that he made a plan for the redemption of their sin. And he was ready to go out through every venture. He was ready to go through every cost that it may be to make sure that mankind was redeemed from the sinful nature. And he gave the most that he could give, his only begotten son. His only son reincarnated and became flesh and walked among us, knows our pain, hears our prayers. He was able to undergo everything that mankind is able to go through. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. He knows where you feel bad. He knows where you go wrong. He knows how you feel. He tells you, come to me. He wants to give you rest. He has chosen to manifest his power in his love. But soon, his son, Jesus Christ, is going to come, and God has chosen to manifest his love in his justice. And that means that he will not allow any sinner. It doesn't matter whether you are the son of a deacon, whether you are a son of a pastor, whether you are a son of a, whether you have been coming to church every Sunday, whether you are, whatever that you have been doing will not matter. But the question is your sin under the blood of Jesus Christ? Did you hear the message of deliverance? Did you hear about Jesus Christ, the Savior, who died for you? And did you hear his call that you can make it right with him now? Don't wait. And don't put salvation too long. Because you don't know. The Bible talks about that rich man who Ishamba got a lot. He got a lot of everything that he wanted. And he said, what can I do now? I'm going to make another new granary. I'm going to make another new barn to put my everything. And after he had put everything, the Bible says that he was asked that your father needs you. And the question that he's asked, if I paraphrase, that what will these things that he put on this world, that he collected every man and everything that he collected, what to whom will they belong to? We get so busy thinking about other things, so busy thinking about our education, think about how we can prosper, which is not bad, but you need to think about your soul. Where would you be after this particular moment? We don't know when he is coming. He might come today, a minute after this. He might come tomorrow. Before you do whatever that you plan to do, before you marry, before you are married, before you get your degree, before whatever you want to do, what will you do if he cometh tonight? Will you say, I did not hear this? This word that you have been listening to will be your judge. They will say, you heard it, but you put it so long. You did not care. You did not care about your soul. But I want to tell you that it's good to be rich in your soul. You are made of God in his own image. And his image, He created you in his own likeness. And Father God wants to save you. And he means to save you. That's why he has provided everything possible. And he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes his word should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have a choice. You have time to choose to continue to do whatever you want to do, or you can choose to follow your heart. You can choose to say, I want to come to God. And you can do it when there's conviction. If the Lord picks your heart and talks to you about your condition, you need to make it. You need to do something about it, because God loves you. And may the Lord bless you, and may he continue to talk to you. And if you are there tonight and you want to make it right with God, it's not too late. You can come here on the altar and you can talk to God about your condition. And I want to tell you, God loves you so dearly. That's why he gave his only Son. And may the Lord bless you.